certain warming will too.
It's funny, huh? In olden times, see, the Hokkien people used to go to the Hokkien shop, Sunday shop. The teacher like to come to the teacher shop. There's always some type of relation or favor given to this type of people.
In Bukit Timah village, what was the dialect groups? What were the dialect groups?
At first, there's quite a lot number of teacher. Then, slowly the Hokkien coming in. And even the Cape people, but very few Cantonese. Mostly Teochew and Hokkien. Even at present, it's Teochew and Hokkien.
And the kind of business that these two groups are engaged, were engaged in, were there any distinction? Those were predominantly Hokkien trades.
You see, like Teochew and Hokkien, mostly sundry goods, and then the Hakka, they do another type of business, medical shop, pawn shop, this later on, and the Chapwe, the Tokyanwe, I don't know what they call it. And so, then there's few Hainanese people open coffee shop. Even the Hokkien people, like before Teochew people also open coffee shop.
So before the war, the Teochew and the Hokkien, they were engaged in almost the same kind of business.
Yeah.
So how were relationships like among these people?
I think it's not bad. At that time, we don't have much, and competition is not very keen, you see. And the village business, the farmers don't run here and there. If the farmers go to this shop and that shop, unless they buy cash, if they go for credit, they don't give. We know if that fellow, you had been taking credit from the shop, suddenly you want credit from me, there must be something wrong, you see. That's our mission, unless you buy cash.
So after a while, the customers will always be the same people?
After the war, things has changed a lot.
I mean, over a period of time before the war, your customers will be the same people?
When there's a new customer, they try to grab it. That is a different thing. But slowly, the place now is very well populated. Things are different.
How did shopkeepers like you get your goods?
Earlier, they used bull cart, you see. They used the bull to carry, you see. Actually, my father was a bull cart puller when he came from China. So he carried for one or two Sunday shop people, all these things. He know all the shop, the wholesaler in town. After saving some money, he went back to China to fetch my mother and start a small Sunday shop. And all our family born in the village.
Was it difficult for him to start a small business at that time?
I don't know. I understand from my father, he started with $200. He got a small attap house, and my mother used to help him. Besides helping the shop, my mother used to reel a pig, this and that, at the back of the shop. It was just to help the shop, you see. Reel a pig and some chicken, like that.
Your father started the business at Bukit Timah village.
He came here a few years earlier than my mother to work. So when he saved some money, so he think of doing business himself, so he had to bring my mother here to help him. No need to hire a coolie or something like that.
So, how did your father started the business? How did your father start the business? How did he get the contacts?
Not say he get the contact, you see, there's no contact at that time. Happened that my father is a bullocker puller. He used to go to town, he know all these wholesalers, you see. Carrying goods for all these people, he know the wholesalers. When they start a business, it's very easy. Since you know all the wholesalers in town, the wholesaler can give him credit. At that time, give them credit. If they give him a few hundred dollars credit, it's very good for him already. Money are so big at that time. If it's $200, he can do quite a lot already, you see. And slowly he build up the business.
So the more important thing was to be able to know the wholesalers in town.
Yeah. To get credit, know where to buy the thing. Besides buying the things, you don't have cash. You have to get the credit. Because happened that my father's job is the type of job. And that's why it's so easy for him to open a family shop. If my father came here as a farmer, he would start a farmer there. Because he's a bureaucrat fool, he knows the people in town. He carry the goods from town to the village. And the people know him and trust him and give him credit. It's easier for him to start a business.
So the wholesaler was agreeable to giving him the credit to start his business.
Because he had been delivering goods, they know each other for 3 years already. So knowing that he is hardworking or something like that can be helped, can be trusted, or this, they give him credit. So if one shop gives him $200 or $300 or $200, it makes $200, you see.
On the other hand, how would he know that his business would be good if he established it in Bukit Timah Village?
Because he's at the place. He's always bringing goods to that place. He knows the people of the place. If he is stuck elsewhere, he don't know the people. He delivers goods for people in the area and he stays there for a few years. He knows the farmer, all these things. When he starts business, it's easier for him. So that's why he chose Bukit Timah Village. He don't deliver goods to other places, only to that place, the village.
So was that the way that most shops started? Was it in the same manner?
Like some shops they may have relation in town, and then they may have money. You have some few $100 at the time or $1,000, you can start a business. But my father is a different thing. He has nothing. So he start with nothing actually to come up.
Your father, because he was a bullock puller, that's why he knew the wholesalers and the people.
But that's why he can start the business without much money, little money. Like some people, they have to start with some capital to do the business. Like some Hokkien people, they got some duration in town, this and that, and that could help also.
Right? What about other shopkeepers? How did they have their business contacts with these wholesalers in town?
It's easy, see, if you got money, you can buy cash at first. When your transaction is good, they start giving you credit. Of course, when you don't know them, you just go there and ask credit, they won't give you. After having few transactions and that, they notice that your shop is quite alright, your payment is good, this and that, they start giving you credit.
Initially, what kind of goods did your father deal with in?
Mostly poultry, food and rice, all these things for the household to eat. rice, sugar, salt, all these things.
Did your father go through a middleman, no, to get the fruits from the wholesalers?
No, no need. Because he knows all of those people.
So the transaction between the wholesaler and the retailer, there's no middleman?
No.
So who would be the one to collect the goods and deliver the money and all that?
No, we have to deliver ourselves. If we don't deliver ourselves, we have to ask somebody to deliver for us. We have to give them our chop and a letter, authorized letter for him to deliver. What we want, this, that. And then they will deliver, we give it to somebody to deliver. Later on, they got this small lorry, you see.
So these people, did your father employ them or?
No, no need. Then there is, I remember, two or three lorries, small lorries, very small lorries in Bukit Timah village. They do for all the shops. You see, like we want anything, we write down, we put our chop. Morning, we send the chief to the shop, they get ready. Payment, we have to go and pay ourselves. If we don't pay our payment promptly or then, they may not give us good. Once we sell, we got money, we'll pay the wholesaler.
Did you have to pay this lorry driver to collect?
Yeah,
the
yeah. They make money from us. Like this type of, later on, this type of people, this lorry driver, easy for them to do business also. They know all this wholesaler, this and that.
When did the village start to have lorry drivers? Because initially it was Pulau
Melaka. I think in 65 should be about 40 over years ago.
Before the Japanese came.
Yeah, before, many years before Japanese came.
But these lorry drivers were not considered as middlemen.
Actually, you cannot call them a middleman, you see. If you ask the lorry driver to buy things for you, or the goods from the lorry driver, then the lorry driver may be a middleman. But the lorry driver just take the order from you and give it to the wholesaler and call it the goods. It cannot be. We pay them, of course, we pay the lorry driver a certain person, a certain amount of money for delivering the goods. That's not a millionaire.
So the shopkeepers and wholesalers, they go direct, but the villagers and the wholesalers, they have a middleman to sell the crops to and all that, to collect.
You see, not say a middleman. You say the villagers, they bring the things to the village and then they pile up on the street. All sort of things. 10 or 20, sometimes 30 farmers pile up the things, display that for sale, see. They just sell. If you want anything, you bargain the price, you got it, you take it. They sell direct to the man. Whether he's a middleman, I don't know. Then this man will bring to town to maybe he's a middleman to resell it to other people.
This man, were they normally from the village or from outside the village to come to the village to buy the goods?
If they from outside, but if they come to the village and buy, they will always buy from this little village. They have to know all these people. You see, so the people can trust him also. Some of them they may see in the village, but most of them come from town. Yeah.
Can you tell us how your father's business has been?
You see, at first it was a very small sundry shop. Later on, of course, to my mother's help, they engaged one or two police and three or four police. They shifted to a bigger shop. They do save money at that time. The older type of people, they can save, you see. And it was in 1936 or 1935, my brother having finished education come to the shop and help. Then the business expand a bit because my brother was young at that time. He branched off another pork shop. So we buy pig, and then my brother with the help of Nakudi kill pig and sell. And we sell one pig a day. For me, we sell 3-4 days that pig at that time. Then we start selling one pig a day. Slowly we sell 2 pigs a day. We make more money after my brother. And then it's something 1939, when I finished my education, I come to the shop to help. Then I got a different idea. I thought doing this retail business is not very far. You cannot go very far. So I thought to my father, why don't we try and do some wholesale business? And my father said, what type of wholesale business you do? And anyhow, I just go to the Mills company and apply. Why? I don't know how they approve, but to make me a distributor for the area, for Bukit Timah area. That was in 1940, you see. And later on, we got the sub-distributorship from Singapore Tobacco in 19. Just before the war. At that time, they want to put a sub-distributor there. Because my first shop was supposed to be the biggest shop in Bukit Timah village. So at that time, transport, just the war is going to begin. So transport the beginning, distribution a bit difficult. So he appoint me as a secret sub-distributor there. That's why we turn our business from a retail to a wholesale business.
When and why did you have this idea to change the business to a wholesale?
You know, when I do the Sunday business, after my education, I went to the shop. People buy 5 cents chap chai, chap kem. You have to use your hand, take this. And people buy kiam chai, 5 cents or 3 cents like that. You have to take one kiam chai and cut. You see, I got so fed up. My hands got so dirty, smelly, this and that. You see, after having all my education, you see, I come and do this type of job. You see, 5 cents of kiam chai, chap chai, I have to take 3 things for you. And I have to wash hands. Kiam chai, you have to cut. You see, kiam chai, you know. From China, one jar, you have to cut. All these things, kiam shi, so bad smell, all these things. Actually, I want to go to work. My father won't allow. I said, I could earn better. I will stay in the shop. He said, no, you stay in the shop. So that's why I think of changing my father's business. He said, it's about, I don't like the job at all. So that's why I write letter here and there, just to try. Luckily, I got it.
How did you know about all these contacts with the Nestle and the No,
they are very big name, you see. They used to come up to sell. They got wholesaler at the time, they got 7 wholesaler in this way. So I just write in. Just write in.
On your own?
On your own. And I don't know why. They want to put one there also, but they think my shop is quite big, and quite that. Once they put me, and the first wholesaler there in the village. So when the cigarettes decided to put, naturally come to me already.
So when Nestle agreed to let you be the distributor in only in Bukit Timah village?
Bukit Timah village up to Jurong and all these parts.
How big was the area?
You see, Bukit Timah up to Jurong, Tuas. Of one small village, up to Bukit Panjang, Woodland, like that. But I cannot sell to town. I only sell to the countryside. Even cigarettes the same. I got the same area as Mrs. Product.
Jurong, Bukit Panjang.
Yeah, Woodland, like that.
Woodlands. Once they agree, how did you all conduct your transactions?
Actually, before the war, they used to give us 1 month credit. Now, Nestle only give us 2 weeks credit. Like Singapore tobacco is always cash. No credit.